that if, together with my own inner state of self-respect, I'm able to give them respect and have the humility to give them that respect that I should be giving them, whether they deserve it or not, that isn't even a question for me to ask, because surely what I have to do is to see the original inner quality of every human being, and then, even if there are lapses at the present moment, even if there are things that are not as they should be, yet seeing the original truth and beauty of the human spirit, I'm able to see their dignity and give them the respect that I should. And so, self-esteem together with humility within myself means that I'm able to give them respect, and that's going to create an atmosphere of contentment. In little ways, when we don't value and respect others around us, maybe we're not respecting their time, maybe we're not respecting their skills, different things happen. Our relationship deteriorates, and one thing builds on another, and a whole block is built up, in which then there's not just a feeling of discontent, but the whole relationship is of discontent. If I want to be able to enjoy life, I can't be content in isolation. I have to be able to have contentment in my relationship with them and their relationship with me. And humility is a very key factor in this respect. Another aspect about contentment with others around me is to ask myself the question, am I a giver or a taker? How much am I giving and how much am I taking? So often we don't keep a proper check of this account, which means that I take a lot more than I give. I'm going to be in debt, and people are not going to be very happy or contented with me. Whether it's their time, their energy, their support, their cooperation, if it's always a demand, I want, they can't be satisfied with me. How can I change that? In a minimal human context, difficult, because there's so much that I need that I'm constantly taking. But spirituality teaches me that if I build up a link with the Supreme, with the Divine, I'm able to receive from the Divine to an infinite degree. I'm able to take as much as I wish. I don't need to take from people around me anymore. Rather, I'm then able to start giving. People around me are very content if I can give them something, and why not? Let me be the one who, instead of taking, is actually able to give, and let me share all the treasures that God is making available. That's definitely going to give a situation in which there's contentment. How can I have a guarantee that God is content with me? Let me first of all understand what are God's instructions for my life as a human being. Let me understand what are the laws of spirituality, so that I'm observing those laws in my life. Yes, it requires a little bit of discipline, but discipline never hurt anyone. Let me follow God's laws with love in my heart, not out of force, not simply because it is a discipline, but out of love, because I know that that's going to make God happy, but also it's going to make my life much better. The other factor about pleasing God is honesty. If I can have a conscience that's completely clear and clean, I can then make sure that honesty in my relationship with God is completely pure and strong. And in that relationship of true honesty with God, yes, I know that God is content with me. Contentment with myself, because I know that I'm moving in the right direction. Contentment with others, through humility and respect. Contentment in the relationship with the Supreme. If I can check out all three areas of contentment, my life will be very full and satisfying. The state of contentment isn't a state of stagnation. The state of contentment means I'm stable, and with stability, I'm able to move forward. If a car isn't stable with its four wheels, it isn't able to move forward. So stability doesn't mean stagnation. Stability rather means being able to have the movement of speed. And so contentment means creating stability. The goal that I have, the destination I would like to arrive at, is further ahead. I know that I haven't reached it yet, and so I'm not going to just sit down, but moving forward with contentment means that I'm not going to cause problems around me. Discontentment means I create ripples of unease wherever it is I go. Contentment means comfort with the self, comfort with others, comfort for others with me. I move ahead steadily towards my destination, to the state of perfection, which is where I'd like to reach. Let's experience a few minutes of silence together and acknowledge this feeling of fulfillment. Aware of who I truly am, the spiritual being, the being of light. I connect with the Supreme. God's treasures are infinite. God's love is the ocean. God's love, God's joy, God's power fills the soul. This is what I've been seeking. God offers me more than I need, more than I ever thought was possible. God offers infinite treasures. Myself with that love and joy. I'm in a state of union, communion with the Supreme. There is such contentment that in a state of being full, the treasures overflow and reach others. God's love, God's joy reaches out and flows in all directions. Keeping this connection and this feeling of contentment, return to the present moment. Anything else here? And as I do this, I keep deepen my connection with the Divine so that I can share God's precious. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Greetings of peace to my sisters and my brothers. We're looking at the impact of spirituality in daily life. And now, I'd like to take up the theme of the power to discern. How to be able to develop a discerning awareness. 100 years ago, perhaps we weren't exposed to so many mixed influences as we are today. The boundaries of east and west and north and south all dissolve in the communication system that have been established, whether it's through television, through internet, through communications. And so the influences of east and west also become very mixed, which is wonderful. We are truly now part of a global village. And yet, of course, with that wonder and the exposure to so many different elements, it also means that within all the variety of choices that we face, we require a greater wisdom with which to be able to make our own choices. Otherwise, the influences from outside will move us from one direction to another without us being able to steer our life in the way that we would like to. So often, we work under all these influences without actually realizing that that's what's going on. And having made certain decisions, having taken certain steps, then 5 years, 10 years down the road, we feel that perhaps those decisions weren't the best ones that we could have made. And so, rather than make that discovery later on, better that I should have the option of being able to look at what my choices are, what my options are, and then make a considered choice and come to a decision with clarity and understanding. That's going to ensure that I have safety in my own life, but also perhaps I'm responsible for many others around me. Whether it's my immediate family, my extended family, or my working family, my colleagues are also my working family. And so, how can I develop such clarity in my ability to discern that I truly am comfortable with the choices that I make? Not just today, but 5 years, 10 years later on. Another factor of today's world, which seems to be quite extraordinary, is that it's actually quite difficult to know what things are going to be like in terms of the politics, the economy, or the cultural situation in a country 2 years from now, let alone 5 years or 10 years. It's been said that more changes happen now within the space of 1 year than used to happen within the space of 100 years earlier on. That's absolutely true. With the development and advances in technology, so many different barriers have been broken. It just seems that anything and everything is possible, but I need to know where I'm going and what it is I would like to achieve for myself. For myself, this was actually the door that allowed me to move onto the path of spirituality. I found myself in a position where there were many choices, but I really didn't know on the basis of what I should be making my choice. I didn't have any clear understanding of what the results of my choices would be. And because I was concerned about this particular predicament, I found myself seeking the path of spirituality and the path of meditation. One of the things I then understood was how the place of our birth, the history of our birthplace, the family into which I'm born, the religion into which I take birth, the culture I'm born into, all of these have a very powerful influence in the way in which we perceive the world and understand the way things are, which is fine. But as I said, today there's exposure not just to one style or one culture, but many different cultures. And that's the paradox. Which way do I go at that point when I'm exposed to many other influences? Education, society, media, peer pressure, all of these are again influences that are very powerful on my consciousness. Not only on my consciousness, but also on my own conscience. At one point, I wondered, well, how can I really understand what is right and what is wrong? One little example is a whole question of respect for all forms of life. Today, in terms of the environment, most people would agree that, yes, it's very important to be able to respect all forms of life, not just human life, but all forms of life. Given that I accept that, one particular tradition will say that vegetarian diet is important. Another tradition will say that it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't have any impact on my life and behavior. One particular tradition will say, yes, it matters a great deal. Because if truly I respect all forms of life, then I'm not going to take life for the sake of feeding myself. I'm going to find alternative methods to be able to support myself. This is one example, not a little one, but actually quite a major one in terms of opposing views and trying to understand the difference between what I know is right and what I know is wrong. Another confusing aspect today is that sometimes people will say that there isn't such a thing as right and wrong. I've heard that view expressed often enough also. And of course, that then removes all the parameters, and it means that really there are no guidelines for life any longer. We've moved away from the path of morality and come not just to the point of immorality. At least at that point of immorality, I'll say that, well, these are the laws for life, but I don't have the power nor the courage to be able to follow those laws. And so I slip into the pattern of immorality. But beyond that, we've actually come to a situation where we've created an amoral environment in which it's no longer even acknowledged that this is right and this is wrong. And people will say that, well, it depends on the individual. Surely, there are cosmic laws that govern our life. There are laws that actually tell us what is right and what is wrong. But of course, in the present climate, where nobody is interested in any type of law, and where the role of the individual is considered to be the highest of all, we dispensed with those parameters. And so we find ourselves trying to find guidelines with which to live, anchors which can keep us safe, and yet we find that we've lost them and we're floundering. Not only is it very difficult for adults, but I sometimes feel that perhaps the world that the young are inheriting and the conditions that the young people of today face are very, very difficult ones indeed, because there is nothing set, nothing but the principles that we are handing down to them in today's world. But I think that things are changing. I think at this moment we again come back to the awareness that it is important to have guidelines, to have parameters, so that we know what direction we want to move in. And this is where the whole process of understanding what influences my conscience and my consciousness, so that I can see, well, do I want those influences to work, or do I want to be free from these influences? I spoke about all the external influences that are working on our conscience. 1 minute I watch a television program that will tell me it's fine to do this, and next minute I read a book that will tell me something else, and I'd say, well, maybe the people who made that program weren't right after all. Maybe the author of this particular book and the ideas that he's proposing are actually the things that are right. And so whilst I fluctuate in this state, I'm not able to have any stability in my own life with my own values or guidelines. And so, of course, I'm not able to be of any help and support to the people around me. And so first step for me was to understand all these different influences. And what I decided was that I wanted to allow my own conscience to start speaking to me. I didn't want to be influenced by all these other things. A choice to make at that moment is, do I want to be one of the sheep and just simply follow in the directions that the majority is going in? But looking at the result of that direction, looking at what that's leading to, I wasn't very comfortable or happy. And so I thought, yes, it takes courage to be a pioneer, to start using one's energy in a different direction, in a different way. But I thought, no, I have to be able to listen to my own inner voice and not just follow the dictates of society or the current flavor of the month around me. That's when I started to practice meditation, and that's when I realized that my own perception ability had been very much polluted and clouded. And so through the process of meditation, the process of making the mind quiet, and more importantly, experiencing the link with the divine, allowing God's influence to reach me and work on me, was such that the conscience became awake again. To a large extent, the conscience was asleep, unable to perform its function effectively, unable even to realize what it should be doing, and so it was not possible for it to function. And now, in this state of relationship with the divine, my own conscience began to awaken, and I was able to start listening to my own inner voice. If you've stopped listening to your friend once, twice, you've ignored their advice, then there comes a moment when a friend stops giving you their advice. They'll say, well, I love her, but she's not listening, so I'm not going to waste my time and energy on this anymore. No matter how good the friend may be, there has to be a moment at which they make that decision for their own well-being and comfort and peace. That's what's happened to the conscience also. Our conscience stopped functioning because we stopped listening to it. We began ignoring it and started moving in the wrong direction. It stopped speaking to us. And now, I say, friend, I want you to help me. And my own conscience begins to function. It begins to work. First, in that silence, I listen. Secondly, I take power and strength from God so that I have the courage and the power to be able to follow the voice of my own conscience. And the more I do this, the easier it becomes, of course. There's another factor at work. It's not only the question of the external influences. One deals with those quite soon, actually. It doesn't take long to separate the self from those external influences and to allow oneself to be exposed to God's influence. And that's a sweet, benign influence that allows my own highest potential to emerge and be expressed. The other factor, more insidious, is of course the enemy within, which means the negative influences that I'm carrying within my own being. These interfere in my ability to discern and discriminate to the point where, again, I confuse right and wrong. Think about one of those old-fashioned scales. It had 2 pans and there was a lever on the top from which the 2 pans were suspended, and there had to be a center point. And when the center point was central, then you knew that the balance was aligned and the reading that you were going to get was going to be an accurate reading. Today, of course, they have electronic machines and you don't see this mechanism. But think about those old-fashioned scales and you know what I mean. If the center point isn't straight, isn't in the middle, if that's inaccurate, then, of course, the reading isn't going to be an accurate one. Makes sense. The same thing happens to us. If there's any situation in which, because of my emotions or my feelings, that center point isn't stable and central, it's being deflected one way or another, then my discernment power, my discrimination power, isn't going to function accurately. I'm not going to be able to make the right decision. And of course, my actions aren't going to be moving in the right direction. One of the feelings that comes in that interferes with this is the feeling of like or the feeling of dislike. You could describe it as favoritism or attachment to individuals or possessiveness. And in practical situations, what happens is that if I favor someone, if I like someone, in any situation, I'm not going to evaluate the true conditions and come to a decision according to that accurate evaluation. I'm always going to be leaning towards that individual. It happens in normal course of life, and one will say, well, this is normal. Well, that's what it's become. But actually, that's not the accurate story. And this is why we find that decisions made because of favoritism bring damage and danger to the individual, to the other individual involved, and sometimes even to whole nations and countries. Let me come back to the awareness of who I am. I am God's child. I am a spiritual being, a soul. And in that awareness, my vision of equanimity, my vision of love, is going to be inclusive. It's not going to be exclusive. If my vision is of favoritism and exclusivity, it means that I'm excluding many others out of that range of love. My decisions cannot be accurate ones. So, obviously, likes and dislikes and attachments interfere. the other feeling that comes in sometimes is a feeling of bitterness or pain because of the memories of the past, things that others have done I'm still holding on to. That's going to influence my discernment power at the present moment. Never mind what happened in the past, but let me be able to see the situation with clarity at this moment, in truth at this moment, and come to a decision about whatever it is I need to do. Desires, that's an interference again. If there's a motive I have, if there's a desire that I have that's lurking in my heart, whether it's for fame, for position, for money, for glory, whatever it may be, but my desires interfere again and I'm not able to come to an accurate understanding or a correct decision about whatever it is I need to be doing. And so a cleansing of my heart and feelings, a cleansing of my emotions and my thoughts is vital. Attachments, anger, desires, bad feelings, all these will deflect that center point so that I cannot understand or perceive things clearly or decide accurately. Especially in situations as today, when things are changing at every moment, one needs to have great clarity. And through clarity, it's going to be possible to make accurate decisions and come to some sort of stable movement towards the destination of my choice. I need to be able to have this relationship with God, to be able to have God's guidance, so that truth prevails, so that I understand not only according to my own limited capacity, but through God's light, I'm able to perceive things from a holistic perspective. I need to be able to have my own awareness of spiritual identity as soul and see others as souls. I then make the right choices that are going to be bringing benefit to me and benefit to all others around me also. Let's reflect for a few moments and see how we can develop our own capacity of discernment. Focus inside. I see the thoughts spinning in different directions.